Welcome to the Alpha Man podcast, hosted by Stephen Goldstein and Mark Randall. The podcast which is always looking to help traders, whether they're new to the game or whether they are seasoned and experienced traders, explore how they can be better, more productive, more effective traders by looking at the human aspects of trading performance. The Alpha Man podcast proudly partners with the esteemed Society of Technical Analysts, a distinguished not-for-profit organisation dedicated to providing informative and educational resources for its members. We're excited to announce their upcoming second Technicals to Trading Systems one-day conference in London, featuring an array of exceptional speakers, will be held on Tuesday the 16th of April. This offers both in-person attendance, where you can take part in fantastic networking opportunities with like-minded people, or you can view it online. Visit the STA website at technicalanalyst.com for further details and registration. Furthermore, we're thrilled to endorse the STA's Outstanding Home Study Course. As a special offer for Alpha Mind podcast listeners, you can enjoy a £100 discount on this exceptional programme, crafted by world-renowned technical analysis experts. Visit our website at alpha-mind.net to learn more and take advantage of this exclusive opportunity. Now, on with this week's podcast. Welcome to this week's Alpha Mind podcast. Great to have you back with us. We're delighted to have as a guest today, Muhammad Ali, who is an old market friend of mine, someone I've known for many years from his time at TD Securities, where he was both a trader and a head of FX trading, actually head of currency trading, as well as one of many roles he's held over the years. He now writes a brilliant newsletter, and I'm going to tell you more about that as we go through the podcast. But just going to introduce him straight away. Mo, welcome to the show. Just tell our audience all about you, how you got into trading, your journey into trading, and where you are now.
Great. Thanks, Steve, for that introduction. And it's a pleasure to be on your podcast today. So yeah, I mean, look, I always had a passion for macroeconomics. Okay. I studied that in university, and I joined the trading floor back in 2002 in London. And I spent my time trading on what we call linear. These days, they like to call it linear macro or linear FX macro. But really, these are like the short-term interest rate trading desks and the FX trading desks, okay? And TD Securities was very proprietary in nature because we never really had a big franchise in Europe, as you can imagine, right? It's a Canadian bank in London. So you kind of had this unique atmosphere of 100 traders in a room in London, in the city, really just coming in every day, trying to figure it out, you know, and we had access to trade bond futures, short-term interest rate futures. We could trade FX spot. We could trade FX options. But really, we were looking at the world at a global macro level. Okay, that was our DNA. So when I say global macro, you know, you almost kind of want to demystify this term a little bit, right? The global macro is just, I'm not looking at one particular thing. You know, I'm not just focused on one particular stock or one energy future. I'm looking at the whole world. Okay, I'm looking at what the S&P 500 is doing. I'm looking at what the DAX is doing. I'm looking at what Bank of Japan is saying. I'm looking at what the inflation number in the US is doing. I'm looking at what central banks around the world, how they're responding to geopolitical developments in oil markets or presidential politics. It's really the whole picture from a top-down perspective. Okay. And then you start there and you start to formulate a view. So we, I think, did this really well as a group at TD. And I had a great time and I had the fortitude to be able to trade through multiple economic cycles. I saw the 08 mortgage crisis in the US and the European sovereign debt crisis and the Trump presidency, which is a macroeconomic event in itself, you know. So traded through tightening cycles, easing cycles, quantitative easing, all of that. So, you know, it's just feel fortunate to be able to have traded markets at a bank, which allowed you to express yourself through various products. And yeah, I mean, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I did well. And I know you, Steve, from back in those days, you used to be my trading coach at that time. But yeah, I was a profitable trader, always respected for my views, and gradually rose in seniority at the bank. Finally, my last role was head of currency trading in Toronto. And that took me back to head office. But that role, in all fairness, became quite management focused. Mm. And it was a low vol period at that time. So foreign exchange margins were really being compressed and we were under pressure to electronify the business. So, you know, strategically, the business needed to invest more in quantitative talent. And I found myself in a lot of conference rooms and a lot of calls. And I was away from the markets, you know. But that was what drove me. You know, I wanted to be on the desk, you know, watching the inflation data come out, seeing how markets react, reflecting on things, expressing myself. So, yeah, after two decades at TD, really at the pinnacle of my career, we parted ways. And then I spent two or three years really just trying to figure it out. You know, I can put my hand up and be quite humble about that. You know, there was a time I thought I'd start my own fund and things like that. And I did some due diligence of managing my own portfolio. But now I really feel, and we'll discuss this when it's appropriate, but I really feel I've found my niche or my calling. You know, I'm really at peace with what I'm doing now, both professionally and how I'm trading my personal portfolio. So that's been my journey in markets, and it's a pleasure to discuss that here today, Steve.
Okay, brilliant. That's lovely, and that was a great introduction. And thank you for being so honest. You know, it's always very difficult. When you decide to leave a career, you know, sometimes that decision is made for us, but it's not fully, because it's, you know, do we stay in it or do we move on? You know, every footballer's career comes to an end. And there's a side to trading, which doesn't get a lot of, you know, focus, because you talked there about being a macro trader, looking at the global macro picture. I'm also fascinated about the micro of trading, yes, which is what we do a lot. Yes. We talk about a lot. You know, the macro builds a picture, but it's, yes, you doing the trading. It's you having to be there at the desk. And you talked about getting that management role and then being in meetings most of the time and not being at the desk, you know, over events, you know, over the entirety of the day, or even when you are, your head's somewhere else, you're having to deal with various other management issues. That's, and I, right, know this because I've coached, you know, many sort of heads of trading, desk heads and that over the years. And they all talk about the challenge of trading in those positions, because they can't be doing the micro of trading. You know, they're just not in touch with every piece of news, every move. You know, when you're sitting at a desk, even if you're not really trading, you're watching the market and you're feeling the sentiment and you're observing and noticing and even feeling the liquidity. And those are really inputs in the process. You know, it's bringing that macro together with, absolutely, the micro.
And you see, this becomes a little bit philosophical. There's a couple elements there, right? So first of all, you know, there's something that a lot of the new age tech guys refer to as context switching. Mm. Okay, You know, your cortex likes to focus on things, okay? It likes to do one thing at one time. It likes to go deep in. So if you look at a management / trading role, you're really asking the human being to switch contexts like multiple times throughout the day, okay? That is taxing inherently. Mm. Now, there are people that do it, okay? And I'm sure there are people that do it very successfully. I struggled with it, okay? I struggled with being in a room and, having my corporate hat on and then coming back to the desk and getting into that zone. So I found that taxing. The other element, okay, of being like, what does it mean when I'm away from the desk? What does that actually mean? So what that means is that if I'm watching a non-farm number come out and I see the curve gets smashed and the, you know, interest rate futures are down 30 ticks and gold's, you know, moving $30 and the dollar moved X and to a, just observation of the market has a subconscious element to it. Okay. So you observing those things, you may not even be trading. And in fact, that's something that I value about my role now, because I'm writing about markets and trading when I want to. But I now have the ability to observe the release of a non-farm payrolls number without feeling pressure to trade. Just watching it, just watching the number, just going into the details of the sectors, just seeing how the S&P traded, you know, and then allowing that information to settle in my subconscious, okay? And then when you're in your, I mean, it's the title of your podcast, when you're in your alpha level, when you're in the zone, you're shaving, you're in the shower, you're out for a run, you're having a coffee, it'll come to you. It'll come to you. The world will put itself together and you'll be like, ah, okay. So Powell said that, non-farm is that, inflation is that, oil is that. Oh, that's what I need to do, you know? And I really feel blessed that that's where I'm at, you know? And I don't know what else to say, but yeah.
You can see me getting excited, can't you, on the video? Yes. You've just reminded me of a moment in my career that perfectly describes what you're talking about.
Right.
So I was sitting at my desk trading, watching the markets. There's all the noise going on. Everything's happening. And this has happened more than once in my career. It's happened several times. But on this one occasion, I mean, I used to like running. I know someone looks at me now and thinks, wow, that guy ran. That must have done some damage to the pavements. But I used to love running. At the time, I was working in sort of near St. James Park and Hyde Park in a sort of Mayfair area of London. And I decided to, you know, round about mid-morning, late morning, I'd go for a run around St. James Park. And as I did, my head would clear.
Yes.
The fog would go. That run would just, all my
cleared up
stresses and that would just fall away. And one day, and I still know where I was in the park, I'm running away and suddenly an idea has popped into my head just like that. It was a euro sterling trade. And I'm like, where did that come from? Sell euro sterling. That's brilliant. Yeah, this is going lower.
Yeah.
This has got quite a big move coming. This has got 200, maybe 300. I wasn't looking at a chart. I wasn't following news. Nothing. I could not wait to finish the run and get back to the desk, just check the charts, look at the market, and put a position on. And it became a really good trade. It did exactly what – but I couldn't see it. It was there. It was nothing changed between me watching the market and me going out on that run. So it came into my head. Everything that was there.
That's right.
Coalesced at that point.
Your subconscious, you know, processed it and gave you that trade idea, and it felt so good, right? It felt so good to have that. And you can, you know, you 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 spoke about technical analysis as well. You spoke about charts there. You know, sometimes it may be that if the market itself is not, you come in, you're watching the market, and the market itself doesn't have enough activity for you to observe, you know, it can happen. So what I do is in the evenings, you know, you just calm down, you make yourself a cup of tea, and I will just go through charts, you know, like 50 charts, 75 charts. You go, you know, the individual U.S. stock names, go through all the different currencies, different energy markets, and don't force it. Just look, oh, okay, oils, oh, that chart looks like it's going down. Oh, that chart looks like it's going up. And you go through your charts, and then you step away once again, and you're doing something routine. You know, you might be doing something routine, your laundry, or I don't know, loading your dishwasher or whatever. And once again, that information will process, and it'll produce something in your mind. And then you chase it down.
Okay, going to return to the podcast shortly. Just very quickly, I want to tell you about my new book, Mastering the Mental Game of Trading. This book, which was published last month by the publisher Harriman House, is available on Kindle, Audible, and book form. The book is received some fantastic reviews. It goes deep into the process of trading, into the mental aspects of trading, deep into who you are as a trader, and explores these from a unique and new angle, and introduces some amazing frameworks which help you get a much deeper understanding of what you are doing when you engage with market, when you take risks, when you trade the market. The book, as I said, is available on various forms, so do have a look at it, and if you do enjoy it, please do leave a great review for us on Amazon. Now back to the podcast. I'm going to bring Mark in here, because when we go to the mind, you know, Mark just wants to like come pow.
I need to say something. I know, Mo, we're good to see you, and so pleased you're on this podcast with us. I guess I want to sort of just retrace a little bit the fact that just starting your journey is one thing, but starting your journey with a passion leads to an entirely different direction that has much more purpose to it, and so much purpose, in fact, that when you're disrupted from it, becoming a leader and meetings and now emails and all the other things that come with the baggage of that, you weren't just taxed by it. You're probably frustrated by it. You were angry. You were stressed by it, because all you wanted to do is get back to the market. And there's this calling of just observing in a relatively non-attached kind of way, right? It's see what turns up. And that's a delightful feeling. And I think it probably gets closer to what we often call a flow state of behavior, where, you know, whatever happens next is just a natural, low effort thing. And it becomes it's enjoyable.
The process is enjoyable.
Yeah. And to say that, gives you energy, It gives you energy.
That's right. And you feel strong, you know. You feel strong in your being. And that is something that, I mean, you put it exactly right. When I look at markets now, or when I put a trade on now, it really is in a detached fashion. I know that there's a process. I know that there will be up months and down months. I know that there will be up days and down days. But as long as I size my positions correctly, I stick to my process, I'm convinced that this is something that is useful for me. And then you just enjoy it. You feel grateful for being able to understand the world in that way. You know, it's a unique way of looking at the world, and not everybody can understand it. And really, part of the Purity Macro journey is to demystify it. You know, individual that we see out there, you know, whether they watch birds or they are expert mechanics, or they get it, you know, they get it, and they enjoy that getting it. And if you can demystify that specialty and other people can understand it and get even a percentage of the feeling you get by understanding some macroeconomic reality of the world, and then that itself is fulfilling. So yeah, I'm loving it.
And I think that it is. And I think you mentioned about you said several times about trying to figure yes. it out. And that's not figuring it out. That's trying to figure it out. And it's really important that you, with your background, are saying that, you know, I've got a lot of experience in trading. I'm trying to figure yes. it out. And there are some times where you won't figure it out. But it's a really, really big message for those that are trading, actually, that even the pros on this planet are trying to figure it out, and they may not be successful.
No. It was such a humbling it's an amazing point. It has been such a humbling journey the last 3 years, because when you get put into those leadership positions, you know, you've almost got to, you know, you're wearing your Batman suit every day, you know, but you're Bruce Wayne you know, beneath, and that can get tiring. So the last 3 years, it's really like, okay, I'm not a global head, you know, I'm not a managing director, I'm just a guy that, you know, has a passion for markets, and I'm trying to figure out how to communicate that and how to express that and how to generate some money. And it has been an incredibly humbling journey. And there have been months where I've been pumped and felt like, okay, I got it. And then there's a couple months where I'm like, oh, a bunch of things failed, you know. And I have, this is going to sound a little cliche, and I apologize for that in advance, but I have truly now, you know, I'm 46. I have truly now learned the value of failure. You know, when you go through your early years and you got the blood pumping and you're trying to rise at an institution, and you think it's all about your successes. You know, I'm learning from my success, and if I didn't succeed, you know, but really now at this stage of my life and with what I'm doing professionally, I really value the failures. You know, whether the failures happen in a trading position or some effort to do a research on a particular data piece that I think had this implication for Fed policy, but Chairman Powell comes out and says, no, we're looking at PCE this way, you know, I really value that. I'm like, oh, it's an opportunity for me to go back to the drawing table. It's an opportunity for me to get back humble, for me to just be a student and learn. And it's, if you start to look at things like that, you're trading and even life, you know, it's an incredibly empowering experience. And you then nothing that is happening is bad, you know. So yeah, I've really learned to value my failures now. You know, it's something I didn't really have before.
No, it's incredibly powerful if you can have that as your acceptance of performance, that, you know, moving on from it. We're talking about letting go so much.
That's right. This podcast and the mind is the mind is a powerful thing, you know. So when you accept your failure, believe me, it will then figure out what went wrong. If you just let it, you know, instead of fighting.
And on that note, whilst we're talking about failure, if you dare to think back to a point that was a failure that was perhaps a bit uncomfortable. Can you sort of maybe explain very briefly how you moved on from that? Was it as immediate move on? Did you do some process to kind of work your way out of that state, or what did you do?
Yeah, so we'll talk about some of my experiences on my recent trading portfolio. Mm-hmm. And I feel very comfortable now with how I'm trading my portfolio, the amount of assets I'm managing in there. And but it wasn't always like that. When I left the bank, I started actively trading my portfolio. But I was trading it like I was at the bank, not looking at it as assets under management, not looking at it as percentages, not standardizing my process, not keeping the AUM stable in the portfolio as well. Okay. And so I would have these huge swings, of P&L. I had a great month in dollar terms. And then, bad month dollar terms. And this went on. This went on for a long time. And, the first year after I left the bank, I wasn't able to generate return on my own portfolio. And I'm like, oh, my God, head of trading, 20 years in the markets. There's all this stuff going on. You can't generate it. And I actually took 3 months out. I at that point I was actually thinking of shutting my account down. And I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna trade. I'm just gonna manage my pension money and I took 3 months out, And then actually I started to have, at that time I was, looking at the hedge fund world, started to have some great conversations with successful hedge fund traders and ex-colleagues of mine. And then I started to understand the importance of standardizing first my process, which at the bank I never really did, So I took time out and I had a Word document. It's about 5 or 6 pages long. And I wrote down, what is it that I do? What is it that, what's my edge? And for everybody, that's different. For a single stock trader, an oil futures trader, a day trader in Euribor, but what's Muhammad Ali's trading edge? It took a long time because you've really got to go inside. You've got to analyze your trades. So I documented my process, understood what I do. Okay. That was step one. It took about a month to understand what it is that I do. And then I said, right, I'm going to take this amount of assets that I don't care if I lose. Like, honestly, you can't trade your own money if it's scared. Because when you're at the bank, it's not scared money, right? So you can trade a little bit more freely. Yeah, there's management. So I said, documented my process, put money into my trading account, which I honestly, hand to heart, could say it's not scared. And then I did not stray from that. I didn't put more money in. I didn't pour more money out. I opened a spreadsheet and I said, right, I can target 10% per annum. And if I compound that year by year, this is what's going to happen in 20 years. So all of a sudden they took my thinking away from like any particular day. And now I'm thinking, oh my God, this amount of assets is actually worth millions of dollars in 20 years time because of the power of compounding. So you take yourself out of this weekly grind and you focus on the fact that this is a 20-year asset and you are going to compound it day in and day out, okay? So You know, so those are the three main things. I understood my process. I put money in my account, which wasn't scared. And I looked at what I can compound across a 20-year period. And then I just felt that things started to come together. My position sizing, my emotion, the level of detachment I needed from any one particular trade. You know, I knew that this is a 20-year process. You know, so so we missed that move. Or, oh, in the bank, if I felt so convinced on that, I should have had five times more. No, it's just another opportunity, you know. So I want to be able to trade unemotionally. So, you know, really, yeah, that was a really valuable experience. And yeah, that's how I recovered from it, you know.
We'll be returning to this excellent podcast in a minute. Just a quick reminder about our podcast sponsor, the Brilliant Society of Technical Analysts. They have a superb one-day conference coming up in London on Tuesday the 16th of April. If you can get there, it will be a great chance to network. And they have some incredible speakers lined up, including the amazing Linda Rashke. Go to their website, technicalanalyst.com, to find out more about it. Also, do check out their brilliant home study course, a great way to advance your trading. Go to our website, alpha-mind.net, where you can learn how to get a £100 discount on this brilliant program put together by some of the leading minds in technical analysis. Now, back to the podcast.
Yeah, that's... I think we're so grateful for you going back through that story because there's so many lessons in there. It's just the guide,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's like take some time, build your guide, your code, your process, and you know do that before you then go and do the stuff that's important.
That's right.
Because you just create the base to go for.
That's right.
I'll let Steve.
Yeah,
he's desperate.
I don't know where to go because you came up with so much brilliant stuff there. I was just listening like I was enjoying someone's podcast.
Oh, that's okay.
That was amazing. Thank you for being so honest and, I, you know, and upfront. And I think our listeners would have got so much from that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to come back to this very last point because I don't think we've ever really talked about compounding, okay, and what trading is and how powerful that is. And I have a compounding spreadsheet which I use with people. Now, before any mathematicians come around and start slapping me around the head, okay, it's not a compounding in a mathematical sense. What I've done is I've created this thing where you have a starting capital, you compound it by a certain percent a day, okay, and then that gives you a weekly return from that one level, and then you compound it weekly for 52 weeks a year. Okay, and that gives you your return for the year. And then you compound it annually. So it's kind of, you know, it's not pure if people are going to talk about it. But I play around with this with people when I'm coaching certain people, particularly, you know, some retail traders or some retirees, you know, they come out and they often say, oh, I need to make, you know, 10% a day, 10% a week, 100% a year. And I'm like, you have no idea what you're trying to do, are you? If you try and make 100% a year, even, quite how difficult that is, you know, what that means. Okay. I mean, you know, it's impossible. I mean,
it's impossible.
Might have 1 year, you might have 1 year where you do it, you know, but to try and achieve that remotely in any particular year, it is almost impossible. And so I played around with a few numbers sometimes. And there was this, I went through this with someone and I showed that if you have a starting capital of $20,000, say, and I used 0.27% as a number per day to make, okay, to try and get to a year, because that gives you, on my calculation here, just over 100% return for a year. Okay. And just to give a sense of how wealthy this would make them, within about 20 years, I think they would have become the richest person on the planet.
Yes. Yes.
Compounding at that level. You know, it sounds lovely, but that just shows you how impossible it is.
Yes.
And by year 25, they'd be, or year 30, they'd be almost as wealthy as all the top 1,000 wealthiest people. And
That's right.
It's just a ridiculous notion. You know, you don't need to meet anything like that.
No.
And it freed them and it liberated them.
Absolutely.
I told someone, if you could make 0.05% a day on a 20,000 starting cap, right, that's a 0.25% for the week, okay? That's just under 14% a year.
That's right.
And if you use that as, say, a retirement fund, that just that $20,000 by year 25 will be worth over $500,000.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
I mean, if you're starting with 100,000, which, you know, is a more, perhaps a more realistic number for some people, and you set your target at 0.1% a day, you know, that's 30% a year. I think that's quite reasonable for someone trading on their own without the pressures of working in a business. By year 25, that 100,000 has become 66 million.
Amazing. Amazing, right?
It's slow at first, and that's a problem. You don't feel like you're making money. Because it takes 10 years to become a millionaire to turn that into a million.
And I have to jump in here because I can feel the relief going through my entire body at the moment. And I so hope that other people can enjoy this release that you're talking about. But you know what? People, and I would encourage your platform, people need to do it for themselves. The most healthy exercise you can do is open a spreadsheet yourself. Okay? Yeah. Just put in $100,000 at the top left-hand side and go down one cell and go equals 100,000 times 1.15, you know, and then just drag that cell down 20 cells, okay, and have a look for yourself. Just have a look for yourself. There's a difference between Steve telling you that that's what's going to happen, and there's a difference between you putting the hand in the dirt yourself. When you go through that, and I never did that for my own trading portfolio until after I retired from the bank, you know. And now you see it. Once you do it once, you believe it. You know, your mind gets it. And you're right. In the beginning it's slow, but then there's an impact around the year 7, year 8 mark, where things really start to look interesting. And you've just got to have the patience, but you've got to have the conviction that, no, that number at the end of that spreadsheet, that is doable, you know. And if you stick to your process, you will be able to achieve that. And all the efforts you're putting in on a day-to-day basis, it means something. It means $3 million 20 years from now.
Yeah, we're talking about money left in there for investment, not money that you're going to take out to live on.
That's right.
Rent. So that's always a bit of a curveball here.
Which is why you've got to be clear that this is money that I don't need.
Yes. Right?
And that if you're a retail trader, if you can just say, okay, whatever that number is, 10,000, 15,000, I don't know, 50,000, whatever is that sum that you don't need? Because otherwise, if you've got to withdraw your profits, you lose the power of compounding.
Mm. Absolutely. You know? Do you know what's interesting? Sorry, Mark, go on, jump in there.
I just want to jump. There's an Einstein quote about this, right? This is Einstein. Compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it.
Yes.
I mean, you know,
that it says it all.
It's amazing to consider. I don't remember these things. Do you have things in TD, these HP 12 Cs?
God, I do remember those things.
Right, let's just describe this. Never mind. Let's just describe this.
It's a HP 12 C calculator, heat pack calculator. If you're into like investment stuff and like you want to play around with numbers, mortgages, investment, compounding, I tell you, you get addicted to it. Just playing with numbers because it gets shown the growth is ridiculous.
The growth is ridiculous, and it's so exciting.
Any boomers who were trading during the last millennium will recognize this. For younger people, they'll just look at that and go, "What is that ancient contraption that he was holding?" the Hewlett Packard. We couldn't function on the desks without those when we started.
No, we couldn't.
It was before PCs, wasn't it? And you know, we used to send smoke signals to about our trades to people.
it's smart. It was kind of like having your own Bloomberg thing, right? It was that smart.
Listen, you brought up a point, and I want this to lead into your newsletter
sure.
a little bit, because you've got a brilliant newsletter that really encapsulates a lot of your experience and your wealth of knowledge built up over the years that you share with people. I'm going to talk about newsletters a little bit because, you know, as I say, I've coached quite a lot of guys who are retail traders, who often they were former traders, ex-hedge fund managers, ex-bank traders. And for one reason or another, either they're, you know, they wanted out or, you know, their time in the markets came to an end and they were looking what to do next. And a lot of them went into trading their own money. But they no longer have a salary anymore. And, you know, people, even when you've got a lot of money, there's something lovely about having a salary, knowing that you've got some money coming in regularly. And a lot of them have told me they really struggle to trade without a salary, without some sort of regular income coming through the door. You know, even though that they had the sort of wealth that didn't matter, it played with their head. Okay. So for a few of them, I mentioned, you know, you might want to consider starting a newsletter. You know, it's really interesting. There are so many people out there. There's tens of millions of traders, but, you know, retail guys who are looking for this sort of expertise, you know, this sort of knowledge, and it doesn't cost a fortune. You know, if you subscribe to some of these news services, they're really expensive. Okay, we know that, you know, and for a lot of people, even then you don't get direct, regular contact with a newsletter. And even in the professional world, I know people now looking more at some of these newsletters because they're really simple. They're really well written. They're people who have been there.
Yes.
And I say to them, you know, if you get it and you get enough subscribers, you could produce that bit of income, which just makes you feel like you've got something. Absolutely. And then you can trade on top of it. You can manage your portfolio. So you're writing this newsletter whilst also actively trading and investing, feeling liquidity, which is great. So I do. And a lot of people said they get so much from writing it.
Yes.
You know, putting your thoughts down on paper just is also a great exercise. And then you could bring some sort of income in, get it paid for as well, you know, and you're spreading some really great information out there.
Yeah.
It's a win-win for everyone, isn't it?
You've basically summarized my life
and
described my current secret sauce. You know, that's really what I'm trying to do, you know.
Yeah.
There's multiple angles there. First of all, the markets and the world that we live in is just so interesting and rich with content, okay, that there would be a natural demand for this sort of a thing, okay? Yeah. You've got inflation and different central bank policies. You've got geopolitics, you got wars, okay? You got all of this. We've got viruses. People don't realize the complex world that we are currently living in. It's so rich with information. So you do need to read, okay? And you do need to try to understand it, even if you are a micro trader, okay? So that's one side. That's from the reader's perspective. Okay. Yep. The second thing from the reader's perspective is that your retail trader now compared to 30, 40 years ago, they're incredibly sophisticated. Okay. They watch markets, they trade different products. So they also need access to information and the kind of analysis that previously only bank and hedge fund traders had. Okay.
Yeah.
And So now, you know, part of the effort of me and other people who write these newsletters is to be able to give that level of information into the hands of the retail trader. So they feel empowered. It's not like, oh, there's the, you know, there's a certain amount of information which is only reserved for institutional traders. Actually, no, it's all public information. You know, the Fed releases its forecasts. The European inflation components are all available on public websites. So why not look at it? Okay, so really, newsletters it's a powerful tool for the modern trader to try to simplify these complex dynamics that are at play. It's also as a student, you know, somebody that's starting out in markets to try to understand, okay, how does inflation impact the central bank policy, and how does the price of oil impact equities, and how does, you know, so if you have newsletters that help you simplify those things, that's beneficial. Okay. And then the final benefit, which I think is on both sides, the writer and the reader, is the over trading. Yeah. You know, you're trying to do things beyond just trading. Okay, so well, if you're not trading and you feel an impulse to trade, but it's not really your environment, well, what do you do? You know, well, you can read, you know, and in my situation, I can write, you know, instead of actually expressing myself through trading, I can express myself through writing. Okay. And that has a cerebral flow to it. Okay. And then you hope that the reader absorbs that. Okay. And really, my intent is to inspire my readership to different ideas, to, you know, I'm sort of putting a flashlight into different parts of the market and saying, hey, look, this is what's going on in this part of the world, and this is why that's happening. And hey, look, this is, and then I'm leaving it to your own subconscious mind to put it together in those flow states, and then you'll come up with a trade idea yourself. Okay, so that's really the intent of my newsletter is to empower you know, the modern trader with information that previously only us institutional traders used to have. It allows me to express my passion by writing, and hopefully through that journey, I'm inspiring you to come up with your own individual trading ideas and enjoy the process, you know. So yeah, that's me, and that's Purity Macro in a nutshell.
That's brilliant. That's terrific. Listen, I could talk for ages, but I think we've got to sort of bring this to a close. Mark, yes. You've been listening there, and you know, what is your take on what you've heard today?
Well, you know, I've witnessed thousands of people trading in the markets over the decades. And, you know, the micro traders tend to stay very micro, but the best traders they began with the macro and zoomed into the micro. They were never the guys that were micro that might just have taken a look at the macro now and then. It was the people who accepted the bigger picture was the thing you needed to start with. And to at least be aware, I mean, not sort of forensically aware, but at least being aware of some of the tone, some of the global tones and the nuances, and to then focus down onto the micro. And that even goes back to technical analysis, where people are like, they're in the 5-minute chart, but for God's sake, you've got to look at look at the weekly charts and know where the bigger lines are, because they may be going right through the middle of your day and you're not aware of it, and you're at a disadvantage. So I think that's why these things in Purity Macro are so valuable for, you know, the retail guys, even the pro guys that are looking to develop their view. If you've not got a source that's you can trust, that's got the clarity that Purity Macro has, then then sign up, because it'll give you a chance of seeing the bigger picture first. And by all means, trade micro, but don't do it blind to the macro.
That's right. That's right.
That's so important.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, Mo, it's been brilliant catching up with you. And, you know, just hearing your passion for what you're doing, also your journey, yeah. You know, and the humility with which you spoke about it. That was terrific. And I think it's great for younger traders and, you know, guys who sit there and, you know, we were all one of those guys one day, once upon a time. And you know, we thought there's a key, there's a solution, there's an answer out there. And, you know, to hear somebody else who's been through that journey and you know, to realize that it's a lot more complex.
Yes.
And it's a lot more challenging. And there's all these elements that come into it. And you know, you've got to work on yourself as well as working on what you do.
Absolutely.
So listen, thank you so much. On behalf of me, on behalf of Mark, on behalf of our audience, I think they would have got a lot from this.
No, it's been a pleasure.
I haven't checked in with you to say, where can they find out about your newsletter? So just I should have done that. And I'll put that on the show notes as well. That will be on there. But, you know, just let people know where they can find out about you.
Yes. So yeah, I have a Substack, which is a platform for writing of all types, but there are a lot of macro guys on there now. So yeah, I have a Substack under Purity Macro. So yeah, it's Purity Macro /Substack. My research at the moment is absolutely free. Okay, I put about 3 to 4 pieces out a week, one podcast, one weekly, and something I called my macro notes, which is what Mark spoke to about the tone, you know. So even if you're a micro trader, you know, this should help you get the global tone piece in for your process. So macro notes, you get a macro notes, you get the podcast, and you get a weekly piece called The Big Picture, where I try to step back and take a look at things. So yeah, subscribe for free, Purity Macro /Substack, and you'll get these things right into your email inbox. And it'll be a pleasure for you to join. Some of your subscribers some of your followers have joined up already, and I'm very grateful for that. I know you have a large following. So I'm looking forward to serving them. But yes, if you liked what I had to say today, give me a try. Yeah, Purity Macro /Substack.
You brilliant. Can sign and that will be on the notes for this episode. That will be us on our own Substack newsletter, the Alpha Mind newsletter.
All right.
When we promote this episode on that newsletter.
Fantastic.
And we'll of course be repeating that on LinkedIn as well. So Mo, Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Great chat.
Thank you for listening to the Alpha Mind podcast today. We also want to extend a thank you to our podcast sponsor, the Society of Technical Analysts. Do check out their brilliant home study course, and you can see more about that at our website, alpha-mind.net. And of course, if you're keen to know more about how Alpha Mind can help you, please do also look up further details of our services on our website, or reach out to us at info@alpha-mind.net. That just leaves us to say thank you, and we wish you the best of luck in the weeks ahead.